with what we're going to talk for a few moments about today. Spiritual joy. We all need spiritual joy in our life. So spiritual joy is the choice that we make to trust in the promises of God rather than trusting in the temporary worldly happiness that's prompted within us by the works of the world. We're all looking for happiness. It's just we're usually looking for it in the wrong place. So spiritual joy, the reason God wants us to have spiritual joy is because, first of all, it's resilient. It'll never fade away. Sometimes we put it in a place that we can't find it, but it'll never fade away. And it encourages us to always find hope in the midst of the adversities that are going on in our life. So anytime you can't find hope anywhere else, you can find hope in your joy in the Lord. That's why we have that. So as believers then, we are encouraged by the Word of God. This is where we find our encouragement to continue to find in our life. This is something that we always should be looking for, is that spiritual joy, especially as we're going through all of these difficult and trying circumstances in our life in Christ. I'm going to say in our life in Christ and not just in our life, because our life here as believers should always be in a life in Christ. It should never be anything else. So this means that, you know, a lot of times we pray, oh Lord, don't let that come against me. Oh Lord, don't let this happen in my life. But that's not what we should be praying for. We should not pray that trials and tribulations will not come, or temptations will not come. But what we pray is that God will give us what? Wisdom, knowledge to understand His divine purpose through the things that we're going to go through. So if we're praying this ahead of those things that are going to happen in our life, we're going to have a head start now on when those things do come in our life. So while we're in the midst of these things, you know, most of us wait till we're in the middle or near the end of whatever it is, and then we start praying to God. But while we're in the midst of these things, then so what we got to learn is when this is happening, the key to accepting these things, there's got to be something there. There's got to be a reason why these things are happening to us in our life. So the key is to maintain. We have to learn to maintain. And as we maintain, see, a lot of us, when we start into trials and tribulations, we just give up. Well, Lord, I just give up. But we got to learn to maintain. And as we learn to maintain, then God will start giving us some understanding of the things that are taking place. And this understanding, now pay attention to this, this understanding will exceed any benefit that you could ever gain from the world. Because when something happens to us in our life, usually the first place we turn to is what? The world first, God second. We should be turning to God first and let Him take care of the things of the world. So our spiritual joy here, now listen to this, it's rooted in our relationship with God. So if our relationship with God isn't very good, then we're not very happy believers. So when people look at you, do they say, oh, we know he's a child of God. He's smiling. He's happy all the time. Or do they see this frown on your face? So it all is based on our relationship with God. So our faith, now listen, I've got a lot of this pay attention, listen stuff this morning. But listen to this. Now I forgot what I was going to say. No, our faith is only going to grow. We're only going to grow mature in our life in Christ when we're tested, okay? When these things happen. So, and we got to understand that these things happen or come because of God's mercy and God's grace. We touched upon this a little bit in Sunday school class. So since our spiritual joy all comes from our relationship with God, then our spiritual joy is not dependent upon the things of the world. Not our material wealth, not our personal success, none of these things, but it comes through, where does it come through? It comes through prayer, and prayer goes along with focusing on studying the promises and the commandments of God's Word. This is where we get our spiritual joy. So now, if you're not praying the way you should be, if you're not studying the Word of God the way you should be, then again, you're not going to be very happy believers. You're not going to be very joyful believers. So this is a gift from God that it sustains us, it empowers us, it gives us security that helps us to recognize what? Not the things around us, but it helps us to recognize the presence of God in our life. And a lot of times we go through our day without recognizing the presence of God in our life because we're too busy recognizing the things of the world in our life. Now, 1 Peter, let me go over there and read a verse, and then we're going to end up in James here in a minute. But 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. Here's what it says. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes. So what's it saying here? The trials and the tribulations and the things that you're going through in your life is more precious than anything else in your life. Because everything else, if it doesn't come from God, it's worldly. And these trials are more precious than that. And he says, though it be tried with fire, it is found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Well, Lord, I don't want to wait that long. I don't want to wait till I have to go on. I want my stuff now. We got to learn right now. We have to learn to trust God through all of these things that are going on in our life. This happens right now. This is the step in the right direction to becoming more Christ-like. So if you want to know what it takes to become more Christ-like, trust in God more. Then we'll start learning what it takes to become more Christ-like. So this means that now we're going to have a greater, more in-depth spiritual maturity, and this spiritual maturity is going to produce a greater endurance in our life. We're going to be able to endure these things much more in our life. So this makes our relationship now, this relationship we have between our love for God and our ability to remain faithful, this increases that relationship. Now we're more dependent upon God. So how many days do we go through our life, and we're not going to say 99 or 100%. How many days do you go through your life that you're, let's say, are you 50% dependent upon God? You want me to knock that down a little bit because everybody's just staring at me. How about 25? 15? 10? This is what God, we need this in our life. We tell God we don't want trials and tribulations. God says you need trials and tribulations because this is what makes us more dependent upon God. This is what helps us to stand firmly, and it helps us to stand rooted and grounded in His Word. Because God doesn't want us working off our own self-righteous sufficiency, but He wants us to work off of His, because this is where our security and stuff comes from. So we must continually seek to stand firm in God. We must continually seek to be right there where God wants us to be, and this can only come through the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We have to let the Holy Spirit rule our life. We have to hold fast to the promises and the commandments of His Word. It just doesn't benefit us. See, we're only looking to benefit ourselves, but if it benefits us, it benefits others around us, and if it benefits others around us, it glorifies God. And that's what it's all about as we live here upon this earth. So we're going to go to the book of James chapter 1. And we're going to keep coming back to the book of James chapter 1 off and on here for the next few minutes. But in the book of James, starting chapter 1, we're going to start with verse 1. We want to talk about the importance. How important is it to me to maintain that spiritual joy in my life. It's very important to me in my life because this is what God wants for us in our life. So James chapter 1, here's what it says. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting, my brethren, pay attention, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this. Here he's going to explain this to you. The trying of your faith worketh patience. How many of you have patience? Now, nobody has worldly patience. My wife does. She has to put up with me. So she has patience. I have no worldly patience. Now, my other patience, my spiritual patience, they're getting better, but they're not. They're still got a long way to go. But it says if you have patience, then this patience has a perfect work. Now, we're talking about our patience, our spiritual patience. We're not talking about, you know, those worldly emotions that we have. We were supposed to have gave them up when we got saved, but we didn't. We kept most of them because we want to hang on to them. But this patience, that's where our perfect work comes from, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Wanting nothing. So that means if you're not thinking about the world and you're only thinking about the Lord, then you want nothing from the world, but you crave or desire everything that God has for you in your life. So if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask who? The preacher. I know everything. Is anybody with me? And nobody raised their hand. No. If you lack wisdom, ask who?
God.
He's the only one that has it, that giveth to all men liberally. If you ask, he'll give it to you. He says, gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. But here, there's a stipulation to this. He said, you must ask in faith with nothing wavering. So, when we pray, how is our prayers to the Lord? Lord, you know, this is what I need him. If it's okay with you, would you? See, we're wavering. We're not trusting him to take care of it. We don't have the faith that he wants to see. Nothing wavering. Listen to this. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think, now let's pay attention to this part. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. You get that question all? I prayed. God's not answering my prayer. Let me take you to this verse right here. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord because his faith wavered. A double-minded man is unstable, in all of his ways. So let me ask you this question. What is it that best describes our relationship with God? Now, you answer that to yourself. And I hope your answer kind of follows along with the scripture here. But it should be, or would it be, that we are God's children. We're part of the family of God. We're the servants of an almighty God. This would help describe our relationship with God. Once we came to Christ by faith believing, we received that forgiveness for the debt that was paid. We're now empowered by the Spirit that dwells within us. And it's that same power that dwells within us that came from also not only the cross, but the power of the resurrection that we have obtained the ability to resist sin. We have that ability. Do we always use that ability? No. But we have it. And he said, that means we are no longer slaves to sin. You were, before you were saved, you were a slave to sin. But now you're no longer slaves to sin because sin is no longer our master. God took care of that through Christ on the cross. So that no longer. So Now we desire, this is where our spiritual joy comes from. Now we, or I desire, to do those things that only please God. Not those things that please me, not those things that please man around me, but those things that only please God. So when we begin to do that in our life, now we're learning what it means to become obedient servants to God. And when I say obedient servants to God, I mean to His Word, to the promises and the commandments of His Word, because we are no longer under the death penalty. Okay? You might die one of these days physically, but you are no longer under the eternal death penalty. Now you're going to go on to be with the Lord. You'll never be separated from God again. We are joint heirs with Him. We are part of His family. Now, in Romans, let me go read you this. Romans, chapter 1, verse 1. Let me read this. This will give you a little bit of an explanation. Here's what he says. Paul said, I am a servant of Jesus Christ. So we can put our name in there. Roger said, Tim said, I am a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, and what? Separated. Separated unto the gospel of God. What does it mean? Separated unto the gospel of God. Now, a lot of people say, well, I'm separating myself. Separated means, it means devoted. I'm devoted. Okay, so now if we're writing this like Paul was, so here's what Paul said. He's writing, he said, I'm devoted, I'm dedicated. All right, how many of us could write that? I'm devoted, I'm dedicated to the service of God. I'm staying away from the world that I was once committed to, because now I'm committed to fulfill the divine purpose of God. That's what he's saying here when he says, I'm separated unto the gospel of God. I'm completely devoted to the promises and the commandments of God's word. Through prayer, through the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, this is what my life is all about. So that means even though we're now set free from sin, we still live what? In the presence of sin. All right, so we have to pay attention to that. And the only way that we can continue to be free from the power of sin is through the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to listen to the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So this seals us in Christ. I'm going to give you a couple of verses as we go down through here. Write them down, go home, study them. I'm not going to look them all up and read them. But in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, it tells you about being sealed by the Holy Spirit. This seals us in Christ. So that means we're now have become bond servants. What's bond servant means? Slave. That's what it's talking about. And we become bond servants in Christ. You'll find that also in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6. Write that down. You go home and look it up. So we live a life now that is, we are totally devoted to the Lord with a divine purpose that we're in absolute submission to Him. Nothing else, absolute submission to God. So that means from now on, we're going to proclaim the good news of His saving grace to the world. We belong to Christ. We're submitting unto Him. Every decision that we make, that decision is going to be submitted to God. We're going to separate ourselves from the worldly pursuits that we have, the desires. We're going to focus our obedience on the gospel of Christ, and we're going to live a life that's totally surrendered to God. Did you get all that? Do I need to say it again? Everybody shaking their head no. So this is where we're at in our life in Christ. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 22, here's what he said. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. or bondservant, or slave. Likewise, also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. So you're probably saying, well, how can I be a bondservant or a slave and still be free? Because when God talks about the difference between being a slave to sin and the slave to God, when you were a slave to sin, you followed everything that sin presented unto you. When you're a slave to God, God gives you the free will to choose, and that choice of following him or being this free man is all part of our relationship with God. So he said, this is because you were bought with a price. So therefore, be not the servants of men, brethren. So he's talking to the believers. Let every man wherein he is called abide. If you were called, if you were accepted, God expects us to be there. So when he comes looking for us, that's where we ought to be. Right where we told him, okay? We promised him. We took on the responsibility and said, Lord, here's where we'll be. So how many times does God find us where we said we'll be? Probably not very many. All right, so how? Let me ask you this question. How often does anybody in the world desire to live a life free of strife? Always. We don't want that in our life, do we? So everybody desires that. Now, let me ask you this question. How often do we pray for a way of escape? Even sinners pray for a way of escape. Oh, Lord, if you'll get me out of this time, I'll not do it again. And 10 minutes later, they're what? Doing it again. So God's desire for us is that we might learn from the things that we do, the choices that we make, the circumstances that we go through in our life, because these lessons teach us spiritual truth. They teach us the reality of the truth of God's word. And these are truths that we would otherwise have missed out on. But as believers, these difficult things that we go through in our life, when we understand that God gives them to us to test our faith because he wants to bring us into a deeper relationship with him, he wants us to have a more consistent relationship with, not up today, down tomorrow. You know, most believers are up today, down tomorrow. Up here today, halfway tomorrow. Down here in the next. See, we're not consistent. God wants us to be consistent. And the only way we can be consistent is if we are always dependent upon him. That's how we get consistency with the Lord. And it comes through his unconditional love. So our focus, our main focus in our life is on maintaining a closer walk with God, regardless of the hardships that we might be experiencing in our life. We're always in that closer walk with the Lord. Let's go back to James for a minute. James 1:12. Here's what he said. Blessed, listen to this now. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now, we want you to listen to this next part as well. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. How many people do you hear? Why did God tempt me like that? God cannot tempt you. God will not tempt you. He might allow you to be tempted, but he said, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But, there's always a but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of what? Of what God tempted him with. Is that what it says? No. It says, when every man is drawn away of his own lust, and then he's enticed. And then when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. He says, do not err. Do not be a part of this, my beloved brethren. So Are temptations going to come to your life every day? If you say that they're not, there's something wrong there. But God doesn't send them. We just read that in verse 13. God doesn't send them, but he does allow them to occur. So this means that any kind of worldly desires that we conceive, and it doesn't matter whether we believe them to be good or whether we believe them to be bad, if they're worldly, eventually they're going to lead us to sin. So don't say, well, I've heard many people say, well, God doesn't, he doesn't punish me for doing this, so he must be okay with it. Now, did you ask him if he was okay with it, or did you just assume that? No, he's not okay with it. If it's worldly, he's not okay with it. So the desire to commit sin comes from where? It comes from us. It comes from following after that old nature. If you go back into the book of Mark chapter 7, verse 21, read down through a few scriptures, you'll find that out. It comes from within, and sin occurs when we yield to these temptations. There's just no way that it's not going to happen. So he says, blessed is the man that endures, because endurance proves our true faith. Our true faith in the Lord. It doesn't just prove our faith, but it encourages us and it challenges us to wait patiently upon the Lord, to stand steadfast in his love, and to continue daily in his good works. This is what this does for us in our life. Now, in 1 John, let me go over and read a verse real quick. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, let's see the other side of this. Let's see what he says here. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, then what? The love of the Father is not in him. So he says, and we've read this verse many, many times, for all that is in the world, the lusts of the flesh, so mark this, write this down so you guys will remember where it's at. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it is of the world. So here's what's going to happen. Sadly, in the world that we live in, including our own lives, it's not a case of if we will give in to temptation, but it's a case of when we give in to temptation. You understand that? We're going to be tempted, and I can tell you through personal experience, we do not resist every temptation. Eventually, we're going to give in to one of them. And when we do, then we're going to sin. Okay, well, we're in the book of Romans. Write this down. Romans chapter 6, starting with verse 12. Read down through a few verses. Go home and study that. It'll tell you about this. But he also says that when we resist, God will turn those temptations that we fall prey to, he'll turn them into a meaningful. Okay, here's the difference between if we go to the Lord with them or not. God will turn them into a meaningful trial or tribulation, a trial or tribulation that he will use for his greater good. His greater good means an opportunity for us and an opportunity to glorify him. All right? So the temptation is only in vain if we allow it to be in vain. We have to turn those things over to the Lord. So this means that when we are tempted, it's not a choice of whether we sin or not. The choice comes as a believer, when I tempted, am I going to be obedient to the Word of God, or am I going to disobey the Word of God? Because that's what you're going to stand before the Lord one of these days. Whether you were obedient to his promises or disobedience to his promises. So when we yield to the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, then this pathway comes through the Word of God. So this is why it's important to have wisdom and knowledge and understanding of the Word. You're not going to stand before the Lord one of these days and say, Lord, I didn't really understand what your Word said, so that's why I was disobedient. Do you think that's going to fly? No. So we have to learn to understand the Word of God. We are responsible. Listen to this. You should write this down. I am responsible for the choices that I make, and don't stop right there, and the consequences that will follow those choices. I am responsible for those things. Let's go back to James again. I'm going to hurry up. James chapter 1, verse 17 and 18 this time. Here's what he says. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. You understand what that means now. If God said it, and I don't care if he said it clear back in the book of Genesis, it hasn't changed up through to now. So there is no variableness with God, neither shadow of turning. I mean, he's not going to change his mind either. I don't care how much you plead and beg, he is not going to change his mind. Of his own will beget he us with the word of truth. See, everything comes back to the word of truth, the promises of God's word, and that is because this word of truth that we have is what? It is Christ. It is Christ living for us now. So he said, it comes back to the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creature. So that means God, and God only, is the source of all wisdom, of all knowledge, and all understanding. Now, temptation, on the other hand, has variables. Temptation changes. I can tell you that if Satan tips you with something today and you don't fall prey to it, tomorrow he's going to tempt you. Listen to this. He's going to tempt you with the same thing, only he's going to come in a different direction. Eventually, he will try to get you to fall prey to that temptation. He's just going to show you many variables of it until he gets you there. So we have to understand that temptation isn't a one and done thing. Because if he don't get you today, he'll try to get you tomorrow. And if he doesn't get you tomorrow, then he's got the next day and the next day. So we have to understand that temptation has many variables. But God never changes. So if something is changing every day of your life, it's probably not from God. Even though it looks good, even though it sounds good, even though it smells good, even though it tastes good, it's not from God. Because God never changes. Because God is the author of the word of truth. This is where our faith comes from. Because God's word of truth is our faith. And it is by his word that the gospel is preached. And he tells you that. We're going to read this one. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25. And it says, but the word of the Lord, what? Endureth forever. Did you get that? And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto us. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean somebody has to stand up in front of you and preach it, physically preach it to you. Because if you'll study the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will preach it to you every time you study. You can't rely on man's interpretation, because that's what it is man's interpretation. That's why I've always said, write down man's interpretation, take it home, and let the Holy Spirit preach to you. But we don't. But we should. And when we do, then we'll understand that it's God's love that enables us. God's love that came through the crucifixion and the resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and it enables us to endure everything that He allows to take place in our life. Everything. So one of the problems that we have is a lot of times we confuse our worldly lustful desires with the will of the Lord. Because I want this so bad, and I keep telling myself that I want it so bad, that before long, I'm telling myself that it's okay and it's got to be God's will. See what we just done? Now, after you get it, now you're begging the Lord to take it back. And that's why He doesn't want us to confuse these things in our mind. So we've got to remember that in order not so that these things aren't confusing, that our life in Christ or our godly life begins with a proper understanding. And it's His understanding. Okay? If you don't understand it, don't do it. But I want it right now. So I'll go ahead and do it and understand it later. How many of you are with me? Oh, come on. I'm not the only one that does that. But if you don't understand it, if you haven't asked God about it, don't do it. And we'll stay on the right track. So this God's understanding, listen to this. God's understanding always has a purpose. And that purpose is always something that is going to follow after and glorify Him. So if you see no purpose, don't do it. If you see a purpose, but it's not a purpose that'll glorify God, don't do it. So we can just go on and on and on. Don't do it. Make sure when it comes right down to our life, it is going to glorify God. And listen to this. And you can find it in His Word. So you know what I get when I say that? Well, I just don't have time to ask God and read the Bible to see if it's okay. Well, you got time to get in trouble over it. You got time to pay for the consequences of it. Why not take time? If it's that important, that's the steps you ought to take. Pray, glorify God, find it in His Word. He'll show you. But we've got to have the spiritual patience to do that. This is what creates within us a good life in Christ. So that our relationship with God is where He wants it to be. And then we begin to understand that everything that God does is eternal and it changes not. This gospel or this word of God, it is a living force that transforms lives. You can't transform anybody's life. I can't transform anybody's life, but this can transform people's lives. This word of God can transform people's lives because it is a divine message that gives us the ability to show God's love to one another. And we do this because God, through Christ, first loved us. Ephesians. You'll find that in Ephesians chapter 4 and chapter 5. The end of chapter 4, the beginning of chapter 5. Write that down. So now our hope is secure. We have a hope now that won't fade away. We have a hope full of promises and commandments that will never change. And because we have that, that is what's going to instill within us that relationship that God wants us to have with Him and that spiritual joy that comes through that relationship. So let me ask you again. I asked you this in the beginning. How important is it that we maintain a spiritual joy in our life in Christ? It's very important, because the way we maintain it is through prayer and the promises and the commandments of God's Word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so very thankful, Lord, this morning for the opportunity that you've given to us to come out, Lord, to fellowship, to pray, to read, to study, Lord, to allow your Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, to work in our lives, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, that that joy would remain full in our life, Heavenly Father. And as even through the trials and tribulations and hardships in our life, Lord, that our relationship with you stands firm because of the spiritual joy, the fullness of the spiritual joy within us. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that you would give us that desire, Lord, not only to retain it, but to show it and to share it with others around us. Lord, for the most important thing in our life, Heavenly Father, is to show others what your saving grace is truly all about. So help us this day, Lord. Help us, Lord, to do those things that are pleasing unto thee. Help us, Lord, to have the desire, Lord, in our heart to commit everything to you, to be dedicated, devoted totally unto you and to your word, so that we may go out, Lord, into the world and do those things, Lord, that you have commissioned us to do, to let others see your good works within each and every one of us. Forgive us, Lord, for we have sinned and fallen short of your glory. Help us, Lord, not to forget to give you praise and honor and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Amen. Thursday evening Bible study will be here, and we're on the second lesson in the purple book. I don't remember the name of it, but it's the second lesson. Come out. We had a good time, I think, with it. Everybody I talked to and seemed to enjoy it, so come out and enjoy that. Saturday evening, and what time is that sing?
Six.
6 o'clock over at Big Isaac Community Church. Glory Way will be there. They do a very good job. So let's not forget that. Remember to come out, enjoy Glory Way. Next Sunday, is the next Sunday the first Sunday? Okay, so next Sunday we will be over at Big Isaac Community Church for Sunday school and preaching. And they did tell me that spring's here. We'll be having breakfast after church, so you're all invited to come and then stay for fellowship and for breakfast. Anything?
Then Bible study will be over there too.
Yeah, and then next Thursday night Bible study will be over at Big Isaac. Roger has brought some stuff. Anybody that wants, stop back there and look and see what he's got. It's mostly for old people, so.
I wish I was.
It's pain patches or I don't know. But anyhow, so stop back here and see if you need any of it. And all right, anything else? All right, let's stand. Praise the Lord three times. Is everybody ready? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.